Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
Dun, 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 dun. My name's Chris Lambert.
We need long, empty pauses throughout this season that will just fill with like drum beats. My name is Travis Bean, and if you haven't already caught on yet, we're talking about 808s and Heartbreak for the next foreseeable future, what, like 14 episodes?
Yeah, something like that. You know, nice and solid. Yeah, we have the intro episode, 12 songs, and then the outro episode, so...
Yeah, and then like a 15th episode where we're just crying.
Yeah, because it is an emotional album that we've had, what, 13 years with to build memories?
Wow. I didn't know you were going to drop that on me. It's been 13 years since this album came out. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's a little wild, isn't it?
It's wild because like I was in it back when it came out. Like I remember Heartless playing on the radio. This is like right when I started listening to Kanye. So it's... been 13 years. Okay, I might need a second for this.
A little brief pause for an existential crisis. No big deal. Happens on most podcasts.
Yeah, so. Most of our shows, it happens at least once an episode.
Yeah, that was a... I think this was the first album. Well, okay, let's set the stage a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Table so, setting.
808s was not the expected album from Kanye in 2008. People... had been hearing about the trilogy, right, for a long time. Kanye, even before The College Dropout came out, was telling people, I'm going to make three albums, College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation. And people were like, bro, you don't even have a album out. What makes you think you're going to have
bro,
three?
Bro, you can't even rap.
Yeah. What do you get off the table and go make beats for me? Like, that's how people were treating him. And then he started talking about Good Ass Job. So after College Dropout came out, Late Registration, people are expecting it's Graduation, then Good Ass Job. And even though Good Ass Job would be an addition to the trilogy, kind of, it was the next thing. And even after Graduation came out, a lot of the media outlets were reporting Kanye is at work on his next album, which should be Good Ass Job. And then bad things happened. 2007, winter of that year, his mom passes away. From a surgery that just went wrong. So Kanye has that now hanging over him, dealing with that. And then he was engaged to Alexis Pfeiffer, who he had been dating for a while. Even they were together when College Dropout came out, which would probably shock some people that aren't diehard Kanye fans in terms of, or like diving into Kanye's relationship, because on Never Let Me Down, he mentions Mr. Rainey, I'm going to marry your daughter. He was dating Samika Rainey back in 2000, 2001, when he was first working on that. But by the time College Dropout came out, he was dating Alexis Pfeiffer. So he was with Alexis for a few years. They broke up. He's single for a little bit. Then he and Alexis get back together, get engaged shortly afterwards, and things are pretty good between them, but he starts kind of obsessively working on the Glow in the Dark tour following Graduation's release. And he's just off doing Glow in the Dark tour stuff all the time. And things just kind of fell apart between him and Alexis. So they ended their engagements in the spring, I believe. And it was in that time frame between the loss of his mom at the end of 2007, the ending of his relationship in early 2008, that Kanye started putting together 808s and Heartbreak, that then ended up releasing in November of 2008. So it came together pretty quickly, like within a year almost.
Yeah. It's interesting thinking that that's the energy this album's born out of, because, you know, Kanye loses his mom in the midst of him planning and setting out on this like gigantic tour for Graduation. Graduation is already an album about becoming a huge celebrity, about moving away from your home, from your foundation, and blowing up and connecting with the world, and kind of not really having a home anymore, just kind of not, you're not like a vagabond or anything, but like you're out, you know, you're out in the world, like you're worldwide now. And to think that like he was obsessing over this in the midst of like having all of these emotions and having his life thrown into turmoil, to think that it cost him this relationship, like this last piece of stability that he had in his life, like all of that seems to set up 808s really well, because then 808s becomes him reconciling with this newfound fame that he has, that he worked so hard for and cared so much about on Graduation. What, after he has lost his mom, like lost his woman, like lost his home, he doesn't have any of that anymore. And 808s appropriately fuses Graduation in that way. Like, okay, great, you're a big famous celebrity, like, but you're completely alone and you have nobody in your life. Like, what is that album going to sound like? Like, 808s is it. Like, it so perfectly captures that.
Yeah, and people didn't like that at the time.
Yeah, I bet.
So I remember even being nestled in at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, how I was, which is not like a music hub or like known for its hip-hop culture. Even there, I remember when this album came out, seeing headlines, articles, people talking, some online chatter, though I don't remember where I would even be picking up online chatter back in 2008, of Kanye's career being over, essentially. Right. Like, he dropped this whack album. It sounds nothing like his previous albums. Is it even hip hop? It's just him singing. How embarrassing. Like, this is the worst album of the year kind of thing. And I was hearing all of that being really surprised. Like,
yeah,
because I had just gotten back from studying abroad in Australia from February through like early July. And, you know, I kind of off in this fantasy land for a few months. And I remember it took a couple months to kind of get my footing back under me.
Mm-hmm.
And you head back to Cleveland soon after for senior year of college. And I felt very out of the loop on things. And it kind of, when I left, Kanye's the biggest musician in the world at the time. Stronger was everywhere. And I come back within a couple months, people are talking about his career being over. And it just felt very trippy. And then I heard Heartless for the first time, just playing somewhere. I was like, this is what people think is awful?
Yeah. What is wrong with people?
Like, how is this the thing that's causing issues? Because I heard it and I just was so moved and caught up and thought it was so emotional and catchy and interesting that I went back. And I still remember being in my dorm, and not even the dorm, it was an apartment with my two friends, and I got on the Case like download network and downloaded 808s, and I was just sitting in my Sharper Image massage chair with the lights completely out, wow, my laptop on my lap, listening to 808s, and it is November in Cleveland, which if you've never been to Cleveland in November, it's awful.
Don't
like
do it.
Most months in Cleveland. But specifically November, December, January, February is the worst time. So it was already snowy. It was already bleak and cold. And our room didn't get, it wasn't well insulated.
Yeah.
And the heating wasn't great. So there's just like this chill in the room. I'm depressed as hell because I hated Case. I hated being back there, especially after being in Australia. And my dad had passed the year before. June 27th of 2007. So I'm still kind of grappling with a lot of that. And being back in Cleveland at that time was just kind of bringing up a lot of emotions. So hearing 808s and knowing that Kanye's mom had passed and that this album was dealing with that, being a hopeless romantic in general and having, I always had some kind of crush where I was like, why doesn't she like me?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So having that and both those aspects being part of the album, it just felt like the perfect album for where I was at in my life at that time. Mm. And I remember just listening to it over and over and over and thinking, this is one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of the role 808 serves in Kanye's discography. Like, I understand listening to it and not immediately being captured by it. Like, I kind of understand why so many people at the time would hear it and be like, what is this whack shit? Like, this isn't Kanye. This is depressing, morbid, like, indulgent. But, and when 808s came out, like, obviously you were going through a lot emotionally. I really wasn't. And I still enjoyed 808s, but it wasn't, like, my favorite thing. But we all have these points in our lives where, like, we have a low point, and there's always a moment. I bet for every single Kanye fan, like, there's one moment where, like, 808s click suddenly, where you're in the right state of mind for this kind of record, and you suddenly start feeling Kanye. And I mean, I've definitely had that in my life.
Yeah, where, when did it click for you?
Well, I mean, I haven't lost anybody close to me. Like, I still have my parents and everything. But just kind of like, I guess, the melancholy of life sometimes. And just like, well, you know, people in your lives go through things. And as I get older, like, I see the people in my lives, like, I feel really blessed to, you know, have Lauren in my life and to have somebody who's I've always been able to talk to and, like, work through a lot of these things I have to go through and, like, and trying to better myself and finding out who I am. I look around me and see so many people in my life, like, do not have that. Like, I see so many people in my life struggling. And it's helped me mature and realize, like, how important it is to be a good friend and to help provide stability for people. And I think that's kind of the role 808s has served in my life, is realizing that how low it can get for people sometimes and how important it is to be there for them. And all the circumstances that can get people to a place like this, that's really what I get from this album now. Like, I see it so much in my life that I feel this album. Like, I see my friend or my relative who's, like, struggling, and I'm like, oh, like, it hits. Like, I sense the lostness in this, like, not having a place, like, not having that person, not having that stability. It's all there, and it all comes just flooding out of this album, song after song. And in a lot, you know, we talk a lot in the show, like, we're a show that loves narrative, you know, we love looking at the piece by piece narrative on Kanye's albums, and 808s kind of doesn't have that. It doesn't have, like, the solid structure that, like, Graduation has, but it also doesn't really need it. Like, it's just this massive emotion. Like, it works in the same way Graduation does, almost. Like, you still can see that story there, because it's just this portrait of Kanye at this time. And I just, you know, as you go through life enough, like, you start to understand where Kanye was in this moment. It's such a full-bodied picture of him in 2008 in a way that I'm not sure we really get from another album. Like, on a lot of other Kanye's other albums, he's playing a character almost, and laying out a storyline for this character. But 808's, like, it feels really raw and emotional and true in a way that something like Graduation maybe isn't.
Yeah, it doesn't have that polish of narrative, right?
Right.
That kind of takes something that's real and turns it into entertainment.
Yeah.
This isn't necessarily entertainment. It's catharsis.
Right.
It's searching. And what you were talking about, it made me think, on our movie website, Film Colossus, we talk a lot about theory of mind. And that's essentially what you're describing, is that this album may not connect for you in terms of the direct experiences that you've had in terms of relationship or loss, but it's given you that theory of mind that when you look at people you know and care about, you have a better understanding of, or a better appreciation for their emotional state, because this album gives you something that maybe they don't want to express, but you can connect it to this.
That's very true. Like, and that's one thing I really love about this album is that Kanye is such an open and vulnerable artist that he is able to take all of these things that most people won't talk about and keep hold up in themselves, and just, and he just pours it out in this album sonically, lyrically. Like, it is just this collage of emotions, and he's not being shy at all. Like, he's both being open about the things that cause him pain and being completely open about the pain he's caused himself, these decisions he's made, the bad directions he's gone that have caused these things in his life. It's, this is a rough album in a lot of ways. It's beautiful for those reasons, but damn, I just don't even know, let alone Kanye albums, I'm not sure I've heard another album like it at all.
It's special. It's very, very special. And, you know, getting into some of what you talked about in terms of the narrative, I do think this is one, we said it about Graduation where we're like, we don't know how much we're going to learn, but we already knew Graduation had a narrative when we were going through the 1.0 version of the of our analysis. We kind of picked that up by the time we got to I Wonder and went through the rest of the album knowing that there was a narrative. So when we went back through it a second time, we kind of had a general idea of what the story was going to be. And we learned a lot in terms of the nuance of that story, which was really cool. But I think 808s is it now the only album in the discography where we feel like there's not a beginning, middle, and end arc? Like College Dropout, mm-hmm. Late Registration, Graduation, All Habits, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Yeezus, The Life of Pablo, All have it. Yay, Jesus is King, and Kids See Ghosts all have that like 313-515 structure.
Right.
So
yeah, I think that's probably one of the things I'm most excited about this season, is to see if there is more of a rigid structure than we ever realized. And I think there could be, because there are movements in the album. Like, there's a lot of, you think of like Graduation and Yeezus, like there's table setting in those albums where like we're just getting kind of a lay of the land, the character that is, and like the journey that's coming. And then the middle section of 808s is a lot about the women in Kanye's life and kind of feeling detached from the kinds of women you date when you're a celebrity. And then it shifts into like complete loneliness, you know, like 808s and Streetlights, and of course Pinocchio Story, where he's standing on stage and connecting with nobody in the crowd. Like, I can see that there could be movements, but I've listened to this album a billion times and I've never been able to like quite grasp like if it's as solid as something like even College Dropout, which even College Dropout I think is pretty loose, but you could still see the movement in a much clearer way than I do in 808s. So getting into the nitty-gritty of this album, going line by line, like, I think this trip around, like, we will conclusively find out if there's a storyline or not.
Yeah, and it's like, talking about even the movements, I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, well, Say You Wills about, like, a relationship with a woman, Heartless is, so you have that in the first three songs. Then, of course, in the middle, right, with Love Lockdown and Paranoid. But then Bad News is also about it, so...
yeah.
It's like, it's just kind of ever present from songs 1 through 9, even 10, mm-hmm. See You in My Nightmares, before 11 and 12 kind of shift away to just loneliness. It's like, yeah, the movement would have to be much more nuanced.
Yes.
So
and I don't know. And I don't think it's important that there is a narrative, because I don't think it takes away from the album at all.
Right. Absolutely.
But also, like, I don't know if Kanye's in really the right state of mind to care about a narrative. Like, in Graduation, he's at actually a point in his life where he's deciding a new direction, and putting that process into an actual narrative, like, makes sense to me for him as an artist. But at this point for him as an artist and, like, what he's expressing, like, I don't think he's going, like, he's trying to get somewhere. I think he's kind of just basking in what is and expressing it like an artist would.
Yeah, absolutely. Which he does it to great results. And I do think that there's at least a climax, right? Like, Say You Will and Welcome to Heartbreak are very subdued, minimal songs. And then Coldest Winter and Pinocchio Story feel much larger in comparison. So I do think that there's kind of this idea of starting in a quieter place and ending in a louder place. Especially if you look at Coldest Winter as like the climax of the album, and Pinocchio Story is kind of an epilogue.
Right.
So he tends to still be using like that balance of things, right? Like start a little softer, end a little louder. But that doesn't necessarily mean there's a connective tissue all the way up through that. But as you're saying, it's just a portrait of where he's at in his life at this time, looking at the different facets of these emotions and thoughts and experiences, and then concluding all of that with Coldest Winter and Pinocchio's story, kind of tying it all together.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
Yeah, one thing I'm really excited about is I agree that there probably isn't necessarily a narrative. Like, maybe we'll see those slight movements. But I think one thing we will see, and something I saw in the graduation season, is a lot of these songs are light versions of the kind of songs Kanye would go on to do. You know, structurally, I think Graduation's pretty similar to Yeezus. But then I think about the actual songs and... you know, Good Morning and On Sight, like there's similarities in like how you introduce the character. I Am a God and Stronger, just like the rebelliousness and the talk about being a deity. And then I Wonder being a song about like this woman in your life, and thinking about how New Slaves does it at the end as well. There are all these little things that I think Graduation did that I was like, oh, Kanye would go on to like do that a lot better someday. I can kind of see that on 808's Thinking About My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Like, See You in My Nightmares to me almost feels like a light version of Blame Game or something. Like the steeping in a situation and like trying to reconcile with it and like kind of the horror that's going on in the background. I don't know. There's a lot of sounds and ideas on 808's that I'm really interested to talk about and dissect. And see like, oh, like this set up this version for Kanye, or like, oh, Kanye went on to do this or that better. I just kind of this surface look at the album, I'm starting to see that.
I think even something like Paranoid and Devil in a New Dress in some ways.
Sure.
Like there's something in the production where it's like, okay, let's take this and blow it up even more. Or we've talked a lot before on the show about the outro of Say You Will and being a staging ground for, or like a sandbox for Kanye going on to do Runaway.
Right.
Which, you know, in our next episode, Say You Will, we're going to have a special guest with us that's going to dive even deeper into that.
Who going to be?
Who knows? Is it Kanye himself? You got to wonder. You got to wonder. Stay tuned. Check out the episode. Yeah, so I think I'm most excited just to do that narrative. Like, and I think for the first time we went through this album, we weren't doing a lot of the samples or references.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also just excited about that, to go through and see, okay, what are the references here? What are the samples? How does this add to the song? How does this not?
And yeah, that's going to be huge. I mean, think about Graduation. We talk about like Elton John, Steely Dan. Like, what were we doing?
Right. We just didn't think it was a big deal when we first started the show. Like, we knew that Kanye's lyricism had these narrative elements, but we didn't think the production would go that deep. And then it did. So I think that's the thing I'm most excited for.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited about that, especially because when I think about 808s, it doesn't strike me as a sample-heavy album. Like, thinking about the drums being used and the amount of space Kanye started to play with, I'm like, oh, there probably aren't many samples on it. It seems like an indulgent, like, sonic experience, but there probably are, and I'm probably going to sound dumb.
You idiot. How dare you?
I should never doubt Kanye.
How dare you? Okay. Well, then, do we want to do our rankings preseason? Because at the end of the season, we're going to do our like post-mortem episode where we go over just the experience of the season and kind of do this whole thing, but on the other side. And with graduation, we did the ranking at the end, and we thought it would be nice to kind of do a ranking at the beginning so then we can compare and see what rose, what fell, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so make sure you save this list, Chris.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
Okay, I can go. Do I just want to run through them all myself? We don't want to trade back and forth, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, or did you want to trade?
Let's trade.
Okay.
We don't have to get as like much into detail as we do with in the other episode.
I think that's mostly what I was trying to avoid, like the 40-minute discussion that could suddenly be happening.
Yeah, no.
And I'm genuinely ranking this. I'm not really ranking this as in terms of like the ones I'm most excited to talk about. Like, I'm purely ranking this bottom to top, like the songs I least like to what I most like. So number 12 for me is Amazing.
Oh, really?
Which is a song. I mean, this is the same thing that happened in Graduation. Like, I love it, even more so than Graduation, actually, because there are a couple songs in Graduation I don't like absolutely love. I love every song at 808s, and there's so many things I love about Amazing, and I'm actually really excited to talk about Amazing on the show because I think people don't appreciate it in the way you're supposed to. With that said, sonically, it's just not my favorite kind of experience, so it's at the bottom for me.
Okay, I get that. I have at the bottom, which I don't think you'll be happy about this.
I know, but what it's gonna be.
See You in My Nightmares.
Yeah, this will create for some tension in this little song making here we're doing.
Which, I just want to say, the first time I really went through the album, as much as I loved Heartless, See You in My Nightmares was my favorite song on this album for a few weeks, I think, as much as I was obsessively listening to it. And I just kind of burnt myself out on it, and I've never recovered.
That's so funny, because I feel like most people have the opposite relationship with it, where they hate it from the get-go, but then they never like it after that.
Yeah, no. Maybe I'll come back around on when we go through it this time.
Even that Spike Jonze movie, that didn't sell you?
Oh, no. The Spike Jonze movie is fantastic.
We'll talk more about it later. You guys will see. Okay, number 11 for me is... Well, this won't make you happy, Chris. Is Heartless.
I get it. Was it just overplayed for you? Was this the pool song?
That's one of it. What's one of the things is, I was a lifeguard at the time, and if you ever listen to the radio, or if you're ever forced to listen to the radio because you're a lifeguard, they have to play like certain hits every hour. So I heard this song 8 times a day for 3 months. And I just I mean, that was part of it, but I do genuinely think of all the songs on the album, like, it's just not as interesting to me. Maybe lyrically, like, it's a good song, it's a bop, like, I like it, but I think maybe lyrically it just doesn't hit for me on all angles.
All right, well then number 11 I have RoboCop.
I thought you were gonna say Runaway, and I was like, Chris, wrong album.
Yeah, wrong album. And shocking development. It's so low. Runaway is so low on my Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy rankings that it's actually falls into 808s and Heartbreak, and at the bottom of that. That would be insane.
Yeah, that's RoboCop for me. Like, it's actually my next song, so we can just talk about it at the same time. I always loved it at the time, and I always thought, like, oh, this is the Kanye song like nobody talks about. Like, this one's a jam. But it's the song over time that I don't know. It's less impressive to me, like, every time I listen to it. I don't know why. It's just, like, after, like, the violins repeat for, like, the 50th time, like, all right, I get it.
Yeah, it's always been clever to me, but always felt a little thin compared to everything else on the album.
Yeah, you're totally right about that.
But it has a little bit, like, I've talked a lot about, like, the sluggishness and me not liking sluggishness. And I feel like See You in My Nightmares is just a little more sluggish.
Yeah, right. I get it. I get it, even though you're wrong.
It's true. So my next one would be what? I'm torn. I think it's actually... I don't know if I want to put it this way.
I'm doing some shifting right now myself.
Can I have a tie?
Yeah, you can have a tie, Chris.
Okay. Bad News and Coldest Winter kind of tie.
Okay. Bad News doesn't surprise me. That's typically the song people like put at the bottom. But Coldest Winter, okay. I'll be interested to talk about that one.
Yeah, I think it's a really fascinating song. It's just musically not as dynamic to me. And
yes.
Lyrically, it kind of is one note, which seems so heartless to say.
Yeah, right.
Or cold to say. I know what you mean, though. But yeah, in terms of like aesthetic and just like, is this a song I'm listening to versus is this an emotional experience, you know?
I get that. That song wins out to me because of its place on the album. Like, I agree it is just kind of one thing, but after everything you go through in 808s, like, it does that one thing like really well at just the right time, and it has a power to me that I can't shake.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, I get it, though.
Yep.
Number eight for me is this right? Well, the next two are pretty much tied, but number eight for me is Welcome to Heartbreak.
Oh, why is that?
Yeah, that's a song a lot of people really love and put near the top. I don't know. I just have never had that relationship with it. Like, I still love it. Like, trust me, I love that song. I think there are so many parts to it I'm excited to talk about, like the introduction of Kid Cudi, so many lyrically, like, so many great moments. I think maybe just sonically it's not hitting, like, all the songs that are coming up like have moments I can grab onto and I can say, like, oh, like that moment, like that's, there's something that's really strikes my fancy, I guess, sonically. But Welcome to Heartbreak, like, I can't really think of anything. I don't know. I also skipped number nine, by the way, which is Bad News.
Okay. I was looking at my list and I was like, wait, am I counting wrong? Okay.
Which Bad News I also love, but it's in that same camp I just said of Welcome to Heartbreak, I think.
Okay. Yeah, it just doesn't have like the musicality that gets you as excited.
Yeah, but I'm excited to talk about Bad News. I'm happy to make people appreciate it more than they do.
Yeah, the outro on Bad News is one of my favorite things on the album.
Yeah.
So I have Amazing as the next one.
Mm.
Which higher than yours, I think, but
you're
lower.
You're a Young Jeezy apologist, though.
Yeah, always have been, always will be. You can check out my independent podcast, Jeezy Freedom.
That's a daily podcast, right?
Yeah. Every morning I record from about 6 to 8 a.m. And we just talk
about a lot of Jeezy material.
Yeah. Amazing. There's something about just the bored ruler aspect to it.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of like a king in his throne just like slouched over, looking really disgruntled because despite having all this power, life is just boring.
I almost feel like I should have it above RoboCop now.
So yeah, that's one of the ones I'm most excited to talk about.
Okay, yeah. Number seven for me, I found this kind of surprising, but because back in the day, because 808s came out right when I was getting into Kanye, and I mostly got into Kanye because I would go on these really long runs. People are really sick of me talking about this, but here I go again. I would love the upbeat Kanye songs because they would make me run better. And I was like, eh, there's nothing out of 808s that really fits that bill. But Paranoid did, and I always really loved this song. But over time, Paranoid, I don't know. It doesn't hit the same that it used to, but it's still a fucking jam.
Yeah, because I remember when we were doing our rankings of this a couple years ago or a few years ago, maybe even when we covered it the first time, Paranoid was like top two, top three for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's the same spot for me, which nice. Actually, after talking about Amazing, I almost feel like I want to put Amazing above it. But Paranoid always feels like Runaway light to me in terms of content. Where Kanye on Runaway is saying, like, you know, I forget the lyrics to Runaway. Wow.
Runaway from me, baby. Toasted to douchebags.
Yeah, just something about, like, the manipulation that's going on in Runaway and, like, the emotional back and forth. Like, you can blame me for everything. Like, I feel like Paranoid is Kanye kind of showing that in more detail. Like, this is how he manipulates, this is how he keeps this girl around in this relationship. Not that I'm saying it's the same girl, but he's just able to kind of gaslight his way into keeping this girl around.
Yeah, like, in Paranoid, he really embodies that person. This person is unapologetically that way. To where in Runaway, he kind of acknowledges it. It acknowledges the duality in his life.
Yes, yes, yes.
Number six for me is Coldest Winter.
Okay, so high up, but not like top three.
It's more, I mean, I think it's a very powerful song. I think it's ranking this high is more for just like the purpose it serves on the album.
Okay, I get that. I have Welcome to Heartbreak next.
Okay, so those were pretty close to each other on our list.
Yeah, and Welcome to Heartbreak, when I was first going through this album, like, See You in My Nightmares was my favorite for a bit of time, but Welcome to Heartbreak, I think, was my second favorite, and still to this day, I find the lyrics to be so poignant, and some of Kanye's most efficient imagery and scene setting, and just, it's great in terms of, like, writing. I think it's one of Kanye's strongest songs just in terms of straight up lyrics and poetry.
Yeah. Yeah, those scenes. Oof. Yeah. Shit. Number five for me, you'll hear a lot more about it soon. Say You Will.
Oh, yeah. Which top five's good, but could be better, Travis.
I'm surprised. I thought you would have it lower on your list, so I'm excited to see where it ends up.
Wait, you thought I'd have it lower on my list?
I could have sworn, maybe I'm, you know, now that I think about it, you have praised this song in the past, but I almost feel like on a recent Deathmatch episode, you seemed surprised that it won a round. I don't know. I had it, for some reason, I had it in my mind that you didn't like the song as much as you do, but clearly I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, it's like you don't even know me at all after a decade. What?
Just gonna have that music play silently underneath what's going on.
Okay. I think it was just in the Deathmatch episode, I was just surprised that it won because I feel like I love it more than most people and that maybe. It never really like goes anywhere. Or maybe it was going up against like just one of the 8 songs I like better than it or something. I was shocked about that, but no, Say You Will's pretty high up for me.
Yeah, I love it. Love to death.
Pinocchio Story is the next one on my list.
Ooh, okay.
Which I think year after year, my appreciation for this song just grows.
I thought you were going to say dwindles.
Oh, no, no. Gross, gross, gross.
Like Pinocchio's nose?
Yeah, yeah.
Number four for me is Love Lockdown.
Ooh, okay. Now we're getting almost into
almost for the video alone.
The video is so good. Like, arguably top 5 Kanye video.
Yeah, it's up there. Like, you have the three videos for Life of Pablo, and then you're like, all right, what's the next best one? Like, it's probably Love Lockdown.
God, it's so good. So weird. So good. No, but now I feel like we're getting into territory where it's like, this is number four, but it's like clearly a beloved favorite, and just something has to be at four.
Man, I gotta say, like, I love Graduation, but like, looking at my top five here, they far eclipse the top five on Graduation. Like, these songs are, to me, this is like Kanye, this is new Kanye working on a completely different level sonically.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. It's like, even compared to College Dropout and Late Registration, yeah, there's something just about my top five on this versus my top five on each of those where I get more excited about the top five on
here. Totally.
Yeah. Sorry, fans that love the first three albums more than anything else.
We suck.
Yeah, but as much of a big deal as I made about Say You Will is my... Oh, wait. Did I just jump ahead of Pinocchio Story? No.
Number four.
Huh. Yeah, something's not
Say You
Will's
number
right.
four?
I guess. I feel like I'm... It would be my number three. Maybe I jumped ahead.
Do you not have this written out?
I do, but I have Pinocchio Story as number four.
Do you have 12 songs on the list?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
What song are we missing?
Let's see.
Streetlights, Pinocchio Story.
It's on there.
Heartless,
is it on there?
Oh, okay.
Okay, Heartless would be my next one. Heartless is my number four. Okay.
Got it.
Yep. Which, you know, it's a song that got me into the album, and it still maintains like a rarefied position in terms of being in the top five for the album. Mm. But it does feel a little bit more radio than the others, you know?
Yeah, right. It's a jam. I gotta give it up.
Ah, da ist meine Prime-Bestellung.
Was? Jetzt schon?
Nur eine Sache begeistert so wie die schnelle Lieferung mit Prime. Und zwar das tolle Unterhaltungsangebot von Prime.
Was schauen wir uns an?
Fallout ist zurück mit Staffel 2. Unsere Lieblingshelden kämpfen sich durch die brutale und bizarre Einöde, um dahin zu gelangen, wo alles begann. New Vegas.
Schnelle, kostenlose Lieferung, geniale Unterhaltung und mehr gibt's bei Prime. Für nur 8,99 € pro Monat. Werde jetzt Prime-Mitglied. Die Inhalte können Werbung enthalten. Fortlaufende Mitgliedschaft. Mehr auf amazon.de/prime.
Number three for me is the beloved Kanye song, Streetlights.
Nice. It's
undeniable.
You saw the Jesus is King movie, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, gosh, yeah. That was awesome. Yeah.
Kanye and Tony Williams just doing Streetlights.
Yeah, love it.
Ooh, yeah. We'll get to that one in a second. I have Say You Will as number three, which Say You Will could easily be number one, and I think would be number one on any of the previous albums. So that's how much I like Say You Will, and it's number three.
Wow.
On this list.
You love those 3 minutes at the end where nothing's happening, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your favorite part.
Yeah.
I mean, it is incredible, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah. What do you got for two?
Pinocchio Story.
Makes sense.
Absolutely adore Pinocchio Story. I think last season, at the end, it was my favorite, and that could happen again after we talk about it, and I realized just like how fucking incredible it is. It's like the last song of this album. But this initial run through, my number one has to be number one, but Pinocchio Story, I mean, it could easily be number one. It's one of the most important Kanye songs there is. It's iconic.
Yeah, and I mean, we were getting into the idea that Big Brother was kind of dry run for Pinocchio Story, or Kanye being like, I have this idea, let me try to do it.
Let me do a shitty version of it.
Hey, now. But then... taking it to the next level on 808s and being like, no, that was me playing it safe because I wanted it to be traditional. I wanted it to be liked. But if I'm doing the real version, that's the artsy version, that's the version I want to do, it's Pinocchio Story.
I mean, we talk about Kanye like having filmmaking tendencies with his storytelling and art, and there are moments of that on Graduation, but this is like 2001 A Space Odyssey level storytelling shit. Like, it's kind of next level and ethereal in a way that music story doesn't usually do.
Yeah, he's on his Kubrick.
Yeah.
Which, you know, was this song an inspiration for Kendrick's Eye on To Pimp a Butterfly?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not the single, but the one that's on the album. Yeah.
Yeah, the one that's on the album where, like, in the middle of it, he starts talking to everybody and, like, is like, hey, not at my time. Like,
yeah, I could see that.
Gotta ask Kendrick. Get him on the show.
I'm sure he's itching to come on.
Yo, Kenny, man. Yo, we call him Kenny because we're like that.
Kung Fu Kenny.
Yeah. Okay, so you got that at 2. I have Love Lockdown at 2.
Yeah, it's great. I feel like our top fives are the same, besides See You in My Nightmares, which is your bottom one and my number one.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. But Love Lockdown, I think Love Lockdown could end up being number one. I think usually number one, but for some reason while making this list, it wasn't. But
it's drums, man.
Yeah, it's so good. Okay, and then See You in My Nightmares for you.
I mean, it's the best. We talked about it on Graduation, and I hate to sound like a beaten drum, but one of the reasons I love Drunken Hot Girls is because Kanye fans love to hate it, and See You in My Nightmares is one of those songs, so like I feel attached to it in that way. Like, I really love it for that, but man, See You in My Nightmares, it's a lot like Drunken Hot Girls, actually. I think about it, like, it's a very ugly song. I mean, it's very indulgent, and it has Lil Wayne. Like, all those energies mix in a way that it make a sound that I just really like in a Kanye song, because you don't usually get that energy from him in such a poppy way. So I guess it kind of reminds me of like something like Monster too, but this is like really like grimy and gross, and in terms of just like storytelling and scenery, like, it's, man, I love that song.
Yeah, I'm pumped to get back to it, and I don't even remember anything from our lyrical analysis the first time through.
We talked about the Spike Jonze movie a lot.
Yeah, but I don't remember anything regarding, maybe once we start like looking at the lyrics and like talking about the episode again, or
yeah,
starting to record the next episode, I'll be like, oh, I remember this part and this part and this part. But like, I have pretty vivid memories of everything else, but for some reason, See You in My Nightmares is just blocked out of my head.
Well, I can't wait to talk about it with you then.
Yeah. Maybe you wiped my mind. So then I would be excited, huh? Number one for me is Streetlights, and I think it's why? Okay, so Streetlights is a song that if I'm driving and Streetlights comes on, I will just end up playing Streetlights on repeat until I'm done with the drive. And even then, if I get to where I'm going, I will stay in the car until the song's done. So there's something very hypnotic to me about this song, and it's been that way for years. And I still have these very intense memories of just driving in Ohio at night and Streetlights coming on. And this was very much how I was feeling in Ohio, where, you know, I know where I want to get to, but I'm just not there yet. And feeling like there's this long journey ahead of you. And you're hopeful, but also like kind of worn out by it all.
Right.
So this song, at times, I feel like I connect to more deeply than any other song. But I think aesthetically, Love Lockdown is probably more appeals to more of like my sense of the epic and
right,
all of that. But Streetlights is the one that like gets to the core of my soul.
I feel like you're perfectly describing it, like your whole situation and like the idea of driving with it and playing it over and over and it being hypnotic. Like, that's a perfect description of Streetlights and why so many people do connect with it, is it really is hypnotic, because the song itself just kind of repeats over and over, and you could just play it like 10 times in a row and like it doesn't ever really change that much. You just keep hearing the same thing over and over. But it works in that way for what you're saying. Like, it's broad enough that like you can apply your own whatever you're going through to it, but specific enough that you can like see the scene and like be part of that scene. And it's the kind of setting where like you do just deepen it and like think about life, and you're not sure what's coming next. It's such a unique Kanye song in that way. Like most Kanye songs like go somewhere and end somewhere, and Streetlights kind of doesn't. It just deeps.
I was thinking that there might be, I don't know if there's anyone that's dedicated enough. I'm sure there are. You out there that's listening. It's like, Chris, you always say that you don't like repetition, uh-huh, and you want songs to keep like opening up and doing something new and have multiple parts. So is it Streetlights, the complete opposite of what you like?
Yeah, it's just, I'm going to ask that question.
Yeah, you should have been, Travis. Yes and no. So yes, it does do that, but the reason why it's okay for me is exactly what you were talking about in terms of its form and function, right? It's capturing the sense of feeling like you're in this place and not getting to where you want to go. Like you're approaching it consistently, but never getting there.
Right.
And the fact that the song just kind of repeats that over and over again, I think makes it okay, because it is embodying what it's talking about rather than just being what it is. It's the same reason why I like Breathe In, Breathe Out rather than not liking Breathe In, Breathe Out, because
right,
I don't think Breathe In, Breathe Out is particularly a strong song lyrically or sonically, but it's meant to kind of be what it is. And it's why Barry Bonds has started to rise in my estimation as well. Mm. Because the form is part of the function.
Yeah, man, I'm thinking about, because I'm thinking about 808s, and it's an album that doesn't have like a ton of lyrics, you know, like it's a very spacious album, and it's heavy on the sonics and the production. Most of the time, like if we have a long episode, it's because the song has a lot of lyrics and it just takes a while to get through everything and to get through all the references. But I almost feel like the episodes for 808s could be even longer. We just spent the most time talking about Streetlights, which is a song that repeats the same lines over and over. And it's because like these songs have this power and have so much thematic meat. Like there's just so much to discuss in terms of Kanye and his story and what's going on in the album and the emotion he's drawing out. Like it's just a more complicated album in that way. And I'm really excited to talk about each of these songs and less like attacking the lyrics and like, oh, what are the lyrics? But like more just like, what is Kanye conveying here? Like, what is he doing? And what is the signal about his growth as an artist?
Yeah, I don't think he was doing a lot of form and function stuff on College Dropout, mm-hmm, and Late Registration. I mean, maybe a little bit more on Late Registration. But it felt like it was still like, okay, let's make some pretty sweet production, mm-hmm, and that's just like a good vibe, good tone that goes with whatever the song's about. And you have some moments like Breathe In, Breathe Out, right? That's like a little more sludgy and sluggish, or Slow Jams, that's kind, mm-hmm, of getting a little bit more into form and function. But I don't think necessarily like the production on Family Business is like doing anything like next level, right?
Right.
And you had the sample usage, right? Like Through the Wire, using the Chaka Khan sample, right, or Last Call using Mr. Rockefeller. Same thing with Late Registration, having the samples be really meaningful. But I think Graduation, you start to see him tinkering with form and function a little bit more, specifically Barry Bonds or Drunken Hot Girls. You start seeing things like Good Life, right, where that may not have the form, but naming all the cities and how that, right, plays into everything. But 808s, I think, is the first album where he really just leveled up in terms of making sure that everything was kind of having more nuance and more depth to it due to form and function.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. And so while the album may not have a storyline per se, like a traditional one, I don't think it's going to disrupt what we do. Like, it doesn't, it's not going to make it harder to like see a through line through the album, because Kanye's doing that form and function, and because there's so much going on within each song, we're going to have a fuck ton to talk about.
Yep. And then the amazing thing about Kanye is that he then merges what he was doing in the first three albums with what he did on 808s and makes My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Can we handle that? No, those are going to be long episodes.
Yeah, we're going to do that one. Right, that's for sure.
Oh man, how excited are you about that, to do My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Yeezus, and The Life of Pablo right this time?
It's gonna feel triumphant, you know.
Everyone else might be annoyed by it, but we'll feel good.
We will feel good. You know, maybe someone will even write an article about us for once, you know.
Probably not. Corrections department, I know earlier that I said Drunken Hot Girl said Lil Wayne. That was wrong. That was shameful. Maybe I should be fired. It's Barry Bonds. It has Lil Wayne. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I heard it and did it even. I was just like, I know what he means, but yeah. I should have said it out loud and been like, you mean blah, 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 blah.
I think in some ways I combine Barry Bonds and Drunken Hot Girls. So
you're always doing that. You're always like, I just listened to the song Drunken Hot Barry. I'm like, Travis. It's not Drunken Hot Barry, it's Drunken Hot Girls. And you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, and it's not Barry Girls.
God, no.
I'm just picturing Barry Bonds with like a wig or playing softball or something.
But like a whole softball team of Barry Bonds where it's like pigtail, blonde wig. Like,
and they're all just swinging for the fences.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
A game that's nothing but home runs.
No defense. The defensive team, is it even like on the field?
No. The final score is like 150 to 137.
Yeah, when's the inning end? If Barry Bonds always hits home runs.
When one team gets too tired to keep going.
Yeah, I guess so. Just taking steroids between at bats to make sure you don't lose.
That's alleged, Chris.
It's the great lie about Bonds. He only took steroids once a week.
His head was that big all on its own.
Could you imagine?
God, I hope he did take steroids, because if he did it, my head could potentially get that big.
It's going to happen to you, Travis.
Oh, God. Just I feel like I'm already getting like Matt Damon head or Alec Baldwin head. Just like fat white guy head.
Well, you're going to have to start a podcast about that.
Yeah. So when you're recording your podcast about Young Jeezy, I'll just be talking about my giant, slowly growing head.
Could you imagine if you were trying to get people to guest on that podcast? Like, our podcast is about having like a head size that was normal, but as you age, it starts to deform. And we think you are perfect to have on the show, Matt Damon.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of Hollywood celebrities that could be on that show, or probably want to be on that show.
Yeah. It's about time we raise awareness for head, what do you call it?
Heads like Anonymous? Big Heads Anonymous?
Heads Anonymous. It's like Continental Drift, but with skull size.
Yeah. So, stay tuned for that.
Beautiful. We're branching out.
Yeah. I mean, I can't talk about Kanye forever. Although if Kanye wants to be on that show, he's more than welcome to come on.
How dare you?
I mean, he could at least be on the Young Jeezy show. He knows him.
That is appropriate.
And Kanye's still a young guy. There's time for that head to balloon up.
How dare you? And just lifts off.
I mean, Kanye is such a smart person that the smarter he gets, you got to think that his head's going to get bigger.
Just mastermind size.
Where's all that information going to go?
That's true. That's true. Well, I think you convinced me.
What a weird end to the 808s and heartbreak overview episode.
Yeah. Just like, oh, these guys, they're really on, they've really like got the ship in order. Yeah, not a lot of banter that takes away from the discussion. And then all of a sudden, it's like a hole in the side of the boat, and in floods.
Yeah.
All of the banter.
He big head hid.
It's true. Kanye admits it himself.
Okay, is there anything else we want to say about 808s?
No, that's it. The first episode will be a fun one with our special guest, so stay tuned for the Say You Will episode and that initial deep dive into 808s and heartbreak. It's going to be a good one, and then this season will be a lot of fun. So thank you for listening, and we think that you will enjoy what's ahead.
Yeah, and the whole time it's going to be tough, but we really need you to stay wavy.
Yeah, because if you don't, you won't be able to keep it loopy.
They ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser Bestes.